Hello once again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. There is an election in Massachusetts today, but you might not know it, even if you happen to pass a polling station. Massachusetts Secretary of State William Galvin said Monday that he expects only about 550,000 voters to take part in today's Democratic primary between U.S. Representatives Edward Markey and Stephen Lynch. That's down from the nearly 670,000 Democrats who cast Democratic ballots in the 2009 primary following the death of Senator Edward Kennedy, and only about 35% of the total number of registered Democrats in the state. Even fewer Republicans are projected to come to the polls to choose between Michael Sullivan, Gabriel Gomez, and Daniel Winslow. Today we want to know what you think of voter apathy. Now, this is going to be a tough program, folks, because we're going to be talking about apathy. And if there's apathy among voters, what makes anybody think we should be doing a show about apathy? Because maybe there'll be apathetic people on the other end who say, well, you know, who cares? So why don't voters show up for these inter-party candidate contest? Would higher primary turnouts lead to more qualified candidates? You bet. And what about the Wilson-Pakula law? You don't know what that is. The Wilson-Pakula law in New York. In this instant information age, does the party affiliation of a candidate really matter except for their fund their electoral bid? Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551. Right now, your chances of getting in, no matter how apathetic you may be, are 100%. So even if you've never been on this radio show, this would be a good time to say, hey, I'd like to hear my own voice. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, wamc.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post, I'm so sorry, on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Well, thanks to the Great Spirit, one phone is now ringing. 1-800-348-2-4. Two phones ringing. I'm saved, I tell you. Saved. 1-800-348-2551. And you're going to hear yourself and your relatives. And from now on, they'll say, I heard you on. They'll call you from all over the country. I heard you on the radio. 1-800-348-2551. 2551. Okay, so here's what I have to tell you before we go on any further, because the phone's ringing now. But I have to say that, you know, in some countries, it is mandatory to vote. Would that be a good idea? Would you put people in jail? Would you fine them if they didn't vote? You know what? It's an interesting issue, because we do know that people who have more, you know, assets tend to vote in greater numbers than those who do not. I've never quite understood that, but that is the case. 1-800-348-2551. Should you serve, you know, refreshments? Let's go to Andrew in Fort Plains. Okay, Andrew, you're on.
Hi, it's Andrea, but that's okay.
Oh, Andrea, I am so sorry. I do apologize. And so does Bruce. Yes, go ahead.
Well, my feeling is that we should make it as easy as possible for anybody to get to a poll.
Right.
So if they want to get there, they can. My concern is that if we, you know, bus thousands of people to polls who don't want to be there, they have nothing, no idea what the issues are or who this person is or what he stands for or she stands for.
Sure, ignorance.
We end up with a lot of votes that mean absolutely nothing. It's just that somebody handed them, you know, the old ward thing. Hey, we give you a donut, you vote for so-and-so.
Or the old saying goes, so what's new?
Yeah, right.
I worked for a guy once, nameless I'll say, who used to hand out something called walking around money.
Yeah.
And they, you know, say, hey, go vote for this guy. But how about extending, you know, extending the primary period? So instead of just one day, people who are hard workers might be able to get a ballot, make their mark. You know what I mean?
Well, if we're going to do that, we would do it. I would think we'd want to do it on all major elections, too. I think it'd be...
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Some of the countries have, like, a weekend voting or whatever. You know, they can go all 3 days. That would be fine.
Well, Andrew,
I'm just concerned that people who don't know anything about anything, maybe they shouldn't vote.
Oh, you know, now you've really gotten into a tough one.
Yeah,
that's
a
tough one. That really is, because, you know, what would we do? Give them a test like they used to do with the polls. Remember that stuff where they...
Oh, the poll tax.
Yeah, the poll tax, and they ask them to write out the Constitution for them and the rest of it.
No, I just am concerned that if you... Yeah, maybe you have some knowledge of it. That's fine. You know, and if somebody totally disagrees with me, that's fine, too. Vote your conscience. But, you know, somebody who does nothing but sit there and watch cartoons on TV and say, oh, yeah, I got to go vote. Well, who am I going to vote for? I don't know. I just flip a switch.
Sure. Well, we all do that.
So,
I mean, when I vote for the tree warden in my town, I have no idea who they are. But, you know, like your name is Andrea.
Yes.
Oh, well, I have a niece named Andrea. And I have a soon-to-be daughter-in-law named Andrea.
Cool.
So I would vote for you.
Well, that would be nice.
Okay. If you run, let me know. Okay. Thanks, Andrea.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Let's go to Susan in Sunderland, Vermont. Susan, you're on 1-800-348-2551. Go, Susan.
Hi, and it's Massachusetts.
Oh, Sunderland, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Vermont.
Oh, my God. All right. I'm going to have to talk to my screener here. All right.
I agree with extending the number of days for voting, either weekend or 5 days. I think if we got some of the money out of politics so people feels like it matters, who they vote for would be huge. Same-day registration would allow people who move easier access to voting. I think some states have that. We do not have that in Massachusetts.
Say that again. Say that one again. I was off in Neverland.
Same-day registration
voting. Say, oh, sure. That's great.
But we do have registration when you go to get your driver's license, so I think that may be helpful.
Yeah.
But the last thing I wanted to say is the affordability of running for office would, you know, keeps people from running, and I think when there's never anybody new to vote for, people don't go.
Yeah. Well, I think all of those are, you know, worthy points. One thing I would say to you, Susan, could you tell me who has traditionally been against same-day registration and of the parties, and who's been opposed?
I don't actually know.
Yeah. Well, every time we have an expansion of voter laws here in New York State or the proposal, the Republicans, as in the case of campaign financing, are against them, and the Democrats are for them. At least they say they're for
them. Well, that would have been my guess, but I didn't want to be stereotypical.
I once went out with a girl named Susan, and and so I would not vote for you.
Well, I like to hear myself talk, so that's why I called.
No, I'm really glad you did. And anybody else who wanted to hear themselves talk, this would be a very good time to do it and save me.
I'm registered Democrat. I'm a hardworking Democrat.
Yeah.
And I think that people need to get off their butts and go out and vote, no matter how hard it is for them. What keeps this democratic country.
So did you go and vote today yet?
I did.
And were there anybody there? Was anybody there?
Well, in my little town of Sunderland, we had a local vote and we had a Senate vote. So there were two votes, in other words, two counts on the machine.
Uh-oh.
And I was 361. So that means like 180 people in my town had voted by like noon.
Well, I'm not fully following it, but I think I understand. You know, Susan, do you ever get on the phone? Do you have a significant other in your life?
Sure.
And do you ever, you know, do you have a car phone?
Do I have a car phone? Yeah.
And when you're coming home sometime, do you get, you know, you're a little tired and you get your significant other SO on the phone and then you make them keep up the conversation even though they don't want to?
I don't know where this is going.
It already came. It already happened. See, because I need to keep talking to you till other people call.
Oh.
You see, no, there are actually two other people, Carl and Joanne, are on the phone. But you've done that, haven't you? Haven't you ever just said, okay.
Sometimes I get on the phone because I'm so tired. If I don't talk to somebody,
exactly.
I'll fall asleep.
I do that with Roselle all the time. She says, I'm getting off now. I said, no, you're not. Okay, Susan, thanks a lot. Appreciate
okay.
it.
Okay.
Yeah, let's go to Carl in Waterbury. Carl, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, nothing to it.
I wanted to say that I think a lot of people are apathetic because they just don't have a strong enthusiasm for a lot of the candidates that we have.
Yeah.
And I think that I hear a lot of people saying we need a strong third party to give us some kind of other alternative.
Yeah.
And then there's the laziness. You know, they think everything's taken care of, and just by voting, they're really not going to make a difference, so they just think it doesn't matter.
And could you have more than, can you have, Carl, can you have more than one? I mean, for example, if you're a natural lazy person, let's just say LP, and then you start looking for rationales for why not to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, I don't understand what I'm saying. So let me explain it one more time. So in other words, let's say I'm lazy bones and,
right.
You know, I don't want to vote. I got something else to do. I want to, you know, go out and walk in the woods. And so then I say, oh, I can't vote because, and then you have a list of things that you come up with that make you not vote.
Well, maybe you think I'm more important or you don't think your vote's going to count. But the point I want to try to make to those people is I feel very, very strongly that all of us need to vote. It's very important. And those of us especially who have lived through times when our freedom and our country was threatened, like in World War II, when you had a Hitler, when you had a dictator like that. And I don't want to sound like a big patriot, but I do want to say that I think our country is the greatest in the world.
Yep.
Nothing is perfect. No political system is perfect. And with all of its faults, I still believe very strongly that the system we have here is the best available to us.
Okay, you said it.
And I think that everybody needs to support it just by voting. Mm-hmm. Just to keep it going and
well
to help keep the freedom we have.
Well said. The only reason I'm pushing you a little here is that it says 2:20:05, and I was supposed to be taking a break at 2:20. See what I mean?
Okay.
Hey, Carl, thank you for the wonderful call. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we'll take a short break, and we will be right back. And unbelievably, a lot of people are here, Joanne and Tommy and Lee and Lisa.
Support for Vox Pop on WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, offering Tuscan Italian cuisine since 1982 with holiday travel tours to Tuscany, including organic vineyards in Chianti, locations in Albany and Saratoga, cafecapriccio.com. Identity Eyewear, Albany, customized eyewear fittings, European frame lines, and more. Identity Eyewear, it's what sets you apart. EYEDENTITY Eyewear.net. The Nature Conservancy's Adirondack Chapter, working to preserve freshwater resources that flow from the Adirondacks to New York's urban centers, nature.org/Adirondacks. And Mount St. Mary College, Newburgh, offering bachelor's and master's degrees in business, education, and nursing, transfer admissions event for college-age students and adults with college credits, May 22nd, msmc.edu.
And we are back, and we are delighted to be back. 1-800-348-2551. And, this goes fast. So once you make, there was one free phone, line number 4, it's very lonely down there all by itself. It's the only one that's not blinking. If you, only 5 lines, and we go fast. There it is. Okay, all 5 are done. That's great. Now we go to one of my favorite places in the whole world. It's an important constituency in WAMC's regional coverage. It is Amherst, Massachusetts, and I love it when we hear from Amherst. It means so much to me. Let's go to Joanne. Okay, Joanne, you're on.
Hello.
Hello, Joanne from Amherst.
I just voted. And I'm a little appalled that I was the only one there, but other than the poll workers.
Right. Did you have any conversation with the poll workers about how things were slow?
No, but they said the older people were the ones coming in.
That's always the case. The older we get, the more we listen to public radio, the more we involve ourselves in community events, the more we go and vote. It's just the way it is.
Well, I'm the mother of 6 children, and all of my children vote.
Because?
Because when they were little, I took them to the polls when I voted.
Yep.
I showed them what I was doing. At dinner time, we discussed politics. We discussed who won the election and what the issues were. And they all, their adult lives, are now, they vote.
I think that's a great lesson for all of us. And I'm not surprised it comes from Amherst.
And I also think that we ought to have better programs in the schools to teach kids about citizenship.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's all I wanted to say.
Well, Joanne, you said it, and you said it well. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
Leaves one free phone. Our old friend Tommy from Neversink. Hiya, Tommy. What do you got?
Well, isn't it interesting that the Republicans would like very much if even less people voted?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, have you heard about what's going on in North Carolina?
No, I didn't, Tommy.
Well, if you're a college student, they want to penalize your parents' tax with their taxes.
How?
If you don't vote at home. In other words,
we've had this in New York State, too. You know that, Tommy.
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, well, what happens? It's not the exact same thing. But there was a huge law case for years over whether students would have to vote from their homes or whether they could vote from precincts because they had moved basically to their colleges. Well, there was a federal judge. His name was Neil McKern, and he ran for Congress and he lost. And I believe he was from Syracuse. And I think he would have won had the students at Syracuse been allowed to vote. Years later, he was the judge who decided on this thing. Guess what happened? So the kids got to vote from their dormitories, I think largely thanks to federal judge Neil McKern. Good work, Neil. So
well, then this will probably fail in North Carolina then.
Well, you never know. Depends. It depends.
Isn't it true if everybody voted, it would be a huge advantage to the Democrats?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
I believe that's the case. Oh, well, it certainly is the case in New York State.
What are we at now? About 50% of people vote, isn't that?
Oh no! Nothing like that.
In a
presidential election, I believe it's a little less than 50%, and that's the biggest turnout, and that's a disgrace, of course. But in an election today, 5% could take it.
Right, and I guess the midterms.
5% could take it. Yeah, and that's why everybody's working so hard to get their people out. Tommy, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yep. Let's go to Lee in Ulster. Lee, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
So this is the thing that occurs to me to say.
Okay.
There is that percentage of people who get up and vote. They
yep.
vote in federal elections. It's hard to get those people out in local elections. And I think that one of the problems is, at least it certainly is in conversations I have, people don't understand what the people in these smaller elections are for or against. They don't care. They don't understand the influence these people have in their lives. I wish that local papers,
yep.
would take some responsibility and front page what the influence these people can have on their lives
mm-hmm.
is, so that folks take an interest in one candidate or the other. I don't care who they vote for as long as they have them do it.
No, I agree with you. You know, in my town, in Great Barrington, for example, in Massachusetts, we have a very two contested things, a huge amount of money being proposed to redo Monument Mountain, a beautiful high school, and rebuild it, basically. And we're talking about millions and millions of dollars. And then also the Main Street Route 7, which goes through the town. Now, these may seem like insignificant things sitting there in Ulster for you, but in our town, they're very big things.
They're big things.
Yes, but the question is, does anybody know which side is on which is what you're raising?
Or who, in fact, has the ability to influence those decisions.
Or who should be held...
influenced by local guys.
Right, or who should be held accountable for the mess that has been made. You know
someday
what I mean?
I would love to see a Dewey show on the certainly locally, I don't say anything positive or negative.
That's a great
locally,
idea.
There tends to be a real issue with nobody ever realizing when school district money spending is a vote.
You know what, Lee? That's a great idea. I'm going to tell Patrick Donjus, our wonderful producer, that's a great idea. In other words, everybody would call up during a Vox Pop and say, this, no matter how small it is the issue in my town. I love it.
That's right.
Thank you,
Thank
Lee.
Thank you, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Lisa in Albany. Lisa in Albany, you're on.
Yes, hi. I just a quick comment, you know, that we have to create this passion for voting in the elementary level, at the elementary school level.
Sure.
This past winter, we hosted a student from China, and they, as part of their curriculum, they have politics and economics as part of their school curriculum,
yeah.
and it's a mandatory course that they have to take. And I think that will be a wonderful thing for our kids here to also have and engage them at the school level, engage them in these things.
Well, the problem with Lisa, the problem with that one is they may have the course in China, but the question is, what's the freedom of expression?
No, I understand that, but I'm just saying that they know more of our politics than we know our own, I think it's a detriment for our kids not to have that opportunity.
Well, some schools have it. Some schools have it.
Yeah, some schools, but, we should do more.
I remember, Lisa, when I was in the sixth grade, believe me, this is going to show you just how old I am. We had an election between Eisenhower and Stevenson. And I remember very well coming home and saying to my mom, guess what? I'm voting for General of the Army, Dwight Eisenhower. and my mother said, no. No. you're not.
No, yeah. In your time, I think, parents were more engaged than the parents of today, which is a shame. But anyway, I just wanted to make that comment.
Okay, thank you very much, Lisa. That's when political socialization takes place, what we political scientists call that, because when you come home and your mother tells you what you are, then that's what you are. Thanks, Lisa. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
One free phone now. Believe it or not, just one free phone, and it's got your name written all over it. Okay. Okay, let's go to Bob in Albany. Okay, Bob in Albany, you're on.
Professor Shartok, I'm afraid that the advertisements leading up to the program today perpetuate the myth about American apathy toward voting.
I see.
As you know, the rates of voting that are cited aren't comparable to rates, let's say, in Canada and the United Kingdom and other countries that we consider ourselves similar to.
Okay.
Because in Canada and in the United Kingdom, they have a parliamentary system. So
yes,
there's basically just one vote for the leader, where we have a vote for Congress and the Senate and the President and our state and local government.
Mm-hmm.
When they vote for their member of parliament, that determines who their leader of their country
is. Right,
so,
quite right.
And the other thing is that when you vote in Canada, they ask you to bring your social insurance card or other thing, so you don't basically have to register. You have to prove you live in the place, in the area, and that you're a citizen or something like that. Or, I mean, when I was in Quebec, they asked that you bring your utility bill and, your social insurance. The thing is, in Canada, everyone has social insurance. Everyone has Medicare. So everyone has a Medicare card. In the United States, you have to register to vote. So the population that's closest to people in Canada and the UK who are basically almost automatically registered are people who make a lot of money.
Okay, Bob, you've made that point. You made that point.
Yes, I want to tell you what the population is. They vote at in excess of 80%.
Great.
The people who make over $100,000 a year in the United States, the people who are closest to people who are registered that way in America,
mm-hmm.
we vote and this is for the presidential election. We are very similar to Canada and Britain. We are not apathetic. We just have a program that of registration that really suppresses the vote. It makes people ineligible. We make felons ineligible. There's only one state in the union that allows felons to vote from jail. Other countries, They don't do this type of thing.
So wait a second, because there are a lot of people behind you. I just want to make sure I get what you're saying. You think
we are not less apathetic.
Whoa! I'll let you talk. Now you let me, okay? And that is your position. I just want to restate it to make sure we all understand it is we are not apathetic in this country. It is the way we structure our laws and our election cycle that makes that happen. Is that right?
Bingo! You got it.
Okay, Bob. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Okay. Let's go to Al in New Windsor. Al, you're on.
Hello. I want to tell you a little story regarding voting from Independence Hall. Lady before me just said we need to inspire passion among kids about voting. And here's a story that everybody should know about and can participate in. When they were voting for independence, there was a tie in the Delaware delegation. It was a two-man delegation at the table. They split their vote, and therefore their vote was going to get thrown out under the rules operating at the time. The only way to break the tie was to get the third man back in the room. That man's name was Caesar Rodney. He had to make an 80-mile trip on a horse in the dark through a thunder and lightning storm the entire way to get there by the next morning by 9 a.m. as Congress was opening up for official business.
Did they have to get somebody to go get him, or did he know he had to be?
They had to get word to him down there, and that's part of the mystery of the story. Most writers do not explain how they got word down there, but they did. And 80 miles on a horse is a tough thing for a young man to do. Now, this guy's almost...
To say nothing of the horse, Al.
Well, he stopped to switch horses along the way, so the horse had a little bit easier. But the guy's not well. He's got asthma, and he's got a facial cancer. Nonetheless, at 50 years old, riding through the dark, through flooded streams and creeks, he manages to arrive at the State House door the next morning at 9 a.m., just as Congress is sitting down for official business, marches in there to break the tie. Now, the point to this story is that I challenge people to find themselves a state quarter from Delaware, because Delaware had the great sense to put that man on a horse on their quarter. And I challenge people to find that quarter and keep it forever, and then the next time it's too inconvenient for them to go vote, they should get their quarter out and smile and then ask themselves one question: what would have happened if that sick old man from Delaware had stayed home that night? So that's a story everybody can participate in by starting to find a Delaware state quarter. They're very hard to find, because the U.S. Mint only made about half as many of them.
So is he on the quarter?
He's on the Delaware quarter. They had the great sense to put that man, and everybody looks at that quarter and figures, oh, look, it's Paul Revere. They don't bother to know the story behind it or even to read his name. His name is right on the quarter.
How did you find out about all of this?
I give tours at Independence Hall, and I tell that story there.
Well, that's great, Al, and I thank you so much. Really is inspirational, and call again, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Okay. Let's go to Pete in Montgomery. By the way, there were five phones ringing. Now you can hear your voice any moment now. If you just give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. Pete, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Got another little story for you.
Good.
I hear about voter apathy. I think about my buddy Paul, who was a helicopter pilot over in Iraq. And his mission, one of his last missions, was to provide air support for our troops that were guarding the Iraqis when they were trying to vote. You remember when they had the, you know, they had the purple dye on their thumbs, and then they'd, you know, the Taliban would shoot them or whoever was shooting them and blowing them up. So he just said, you know, it's just amazing that these people are over there in Iraq were willing to risk their lives to vote, and then over here, we only have, you know, 30-40% turnout, so it is crazy.
What would you do to change it?
I don't know. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I come into contact with people, and they could care less, and you ask them why, and it's, you know, they really don't have a good reason for it, but they could care less. So.
Even people who listen to public radio every day. And don't do anything about it. You know what I mean? It's and you say, okay, well, I meant to, I will. It's not that they're bad people. It's just that they don't. And they're going to.
Yeah. Hey, realize how important it is, really.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
So, hey, Pete, but, you know, basically, a lot of them don't think their vote counts. You know, they think they vote, you know, no matter which way they vote, it doesn't count. You know, they don't get, you know, they're unhappy, so why do it? So.
Yeah, Pete, I really thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
Okay, take care.
Okay, let's go to Beth in Montgomery. Beth in Montgomery, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I just wanted to say one of the problems with people is they love to complain. And if more people voted, I've been on the school board now for 12 years, and I say that if every parent or every child voted for the school budget, we would have no problems in New York State. But instead, we only have like a fraction come out.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. People with kids sometimes come out. That's right. That's right. They think they've got a horse in the game, and maybe somebody will come out.
And another thing, sometimes we can't even get people to run. I mean, it's everyone should do everyone's job for them, but no one was willing to put the time in the effort to do their own work.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right.
That's the problem in this country. Everybody thinks it's, you know, it's going to be handed to you.
When I was a selectman in the town of Alford, the little town of Alford outside of Great Barrington, we always, you know, when we did official stuff, we had to have a quorum at the town meeting. We'd have to wake the people up next door. Get over there. Hey, Beth, thanks for calling. Appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome. Take care. Bye-bye.
We're going to take a short break, and Steve and Barbara and whoever's calling, just keep calling because we're rounding the corner now.
Support for Vox Pop on WAMC comes from Quality Foreign Car Care, Boston Spa, New York. Specializing in European car sales and service for over 20 years, QFCC.com. Berkshire Botanical Garden, Stockbridge, Massachusetts. 36th annual gardening event, May 10th and 11th, with over 1,000 plants by Habitat, specialty vendors for the garden, patio, and home, berkshirebotanical.org. Charles Padula, DDS, Union Avenue, Schenectady. Offering implant dentistry to replace missing teeth, PadulaDDS.com. And Eagle Hill School, Hardwick, Massachusetts, a college prep boarding and day school for students with learning disabilities and ADD, featuring a 5-week summer session, EHS1.org.
So it's 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Joining us now is a man I much admire, one of the great assets here at WAMC, Mr. Patrick Donges. Patrick,
hi, Alan. Thank you. Scott, via email, writes in to voxpop@wamc.org. It says, I really don't care. Seriously, I am concerned about the lack of candidates running. So he was joking. I am really hoping a credible candidate will challenge Governor Cuomo. I would also like to see congressmen serve 4 years between elections instead of two. Luis on Facebook says, while not ignoring the issue of voter apathy, I'm concerned about the denial of voting rights to those who were once at one time convicted of a felony offense, then served their time. This seems like double jeopardy situation and immoral, particularly because it impacts the minority community more than most. And that's what we got.
Thank you, Patrick. It's
Thank
always
you,
wonderful
Alan.
To hear. How do people get in? They just email us at voxpop@wamc.org.
They can email us, voxpop@wamc.org. You got it. Tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. That's all one word. You can check us out.
Or they can tweet us to ice cream.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. And all of this information is, of course, available on the Vox Pop section of our website, WAMC.org/.
Now, how did those
Vox
people
Pop.
Get in?
Scott wrote an email, and Luis checked in on Facebook.
Okay. Well, that's great. Okay. 1-800-348-2551. We'll go to Steve in East Long Meadow. Okay, Steve, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
I'm good, but I'm very interested in how the voting is going in East Long Meadow.
Well, I haven't gone yet.
Okay. Are you going?
Thank you for reminding me. Yes, I will.
Okay, yeah. No problem.
But apathy.
Yeah. What about it?
I don't... the caller there with the horse was interesting because I don't have a horse.
You have a horse?
No, I don't, but I've got a laptop.
Ah.
You know, we do electronic banking. We've got ATM cards.
Right.
A lot of my purchases, you know, are done on a off a laptop
with a credit card. Sure.
Why can't I, right now, take my computer out and place my vote?
I agree with you. There, look, in this electronic age, if we could do electronic banking, we could do electronic voting.
Isn't that the truth, man?
Yeah. Well, that is the truth, and you make a profound point. When did that come to you to make that contribution to the mix here?
Oh my goodness! I was driving back from my home from having lunch.
Yep.
And coming back to the office.
Where did you eat lunch?
Well, Alan, I used to live up in the Berkshires. I now live down in the valley. I'm in Long Meadow.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where?
Mandisfield originally.
Yeah, but where did you eat lunch?
At my home. My wife made me. Two hot dogs.
I was just going to ask you. That was the next question. What'd you have? hey, Steve, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Yeah, see ya.
Okay. Let's go to Barbara in Saratoga Springs. Barbara, what'd you have for lunch?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
What'd you have for lunch, Barbara?
I had some vegetables. I'm on a special diet now.
Okay,
so.
All right.
Not exciting.
All right.
I just want to say that I think the voter turnout problem is a symptom of our times. There is a lot of apathy, and I know that for a fact because I'm a Green Party member, and I go out and try and get petitions signed.
Yep.
And I just get refused by a lot of people, and they're usually the younger people, 20-something-year-olds, and I find that very sad.
Do you have to be a registered voter to sign your petition?
No.
Okay.
No, not if it's just to get on the ballot.
Because we know that young people do not register and vote in the same numbers that older people do. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's true. You know,
I think another part of the problem is that the elections are not competitive enough. I just, out of curiosity, I looked up what the voter turnout was when we had a three-way race for president back in 1992.
Right.
When Perot ran yep. against Bush Sr. and Mr. Clinton.
Yep.
And the voter turnout jumped from 50%, which it was in 1988, to 55% that year.
Hmm.
So, you know, that says a lot.
It does.
We need to have more candidates, more parties running, candidates for office, particularly, you know, the Green Party, the Libertarian. I mean, just look how good, how well Gary Johnson did
mm-hmm.
in the presidential working
families, yeah, in New York. Yeah, that's
well,
true.
They usually just endorse the Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Or something. Yeah. Hey, Barbara, you make a profound point about competition. You know, when you give people a choice, a real choice, when it becomes real close, you get more people. No two ways about it. And so even if it's two parties and there's a real choice, the problem is, of course, and I don't have to tell you because you're an activist, is that with things like gerrymandering the congressional districts, so you're really only getting a choice. You know, there's one choice that's sort of preordained. It's terrible. But when you get a free discussion, a free election in which two candidates are running against each other and either could win, boy, do they come out.
Yeah, and I think another problem is the fact that we have such an unleveled playing field. We don't have debates in which all the candidates can participate.
Sure, if you're ahead, you don't debate. If you're behind, you want to debate.
Yeah, I mean, but regardless, this is not democratic.
No, but the question is, how would you make it, you know, the presidential debates are pretty well set in advance, you know, League of Women Voters and all the rest of it, or whoever, there's a commission that does it. But how would you make a congressional candidate who is way ahead debate with somebody who is way behind? They just won't do it if they can avoid it.
I know, this is true.
Yeah.
But I think that the presidential debates, I mean, that at the very least should be open to all the candidates. And I think the League of Women Voters should try and take back control over the debate.
Interesting. Well, Barbara,
there's a lot of room for improvement.
There certainly is. Barbara, thanks, and enjoy those vegetables.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to George. Hey, George in West Stockbridge. Now, that's one of my favorite towns, West Stockbridge. How are things there?
Okay, Alan, how are you?
You go to the public market, do you?
No, I go down to the Williamsville.
Down to the Williamsville. Okay, go ahead.
You know, greed and corruption has always been in politics. But it seems anymore it's in your face. They don't care. They're blatant about it. And people don't trust politicians. You know, it's Obama ran on a platform against Monsanto, you know, his first term. This year he signed a bill allowing Monsanto carte blanche to do whatever they want. You know, you can't trust what these guys say because they're bought. They get kicked back somewhere, or they get paid somehow.
Well, it's not only kickbacks; it's that the political reality sets in. So they say, okay, if I do this, then I get some money for my campaign. I think there's something to it, but there's also something about compromise. Sometimes, you know, you got to compromise in order to get something done.
Well, but they're put in place to serve the people, the public. They work for us.
Yeah, that's
true. What happens is they spend their whole life working for themselves, getting their job back.
Yeah.
You know, and again, back to apathy, everybody complains about the Occupy movement. Not enough people. I keep saying when 100% of the 99% stand up and say no, something will happen.
Yep, and that happens every once in a while. Once in a while, something catches everybody's imagination, and everybody stands up, and all politicians run for the hills.
Well,
hey, George, keep up the good work in West Stockbridge. Appreciate
it.
By the way, one last question. What did you have for lunch?
I didn't eat lunch today. I had a very light breakfast, and I've been on the road looking at a job down in Connecticut. I'm on my way back.
Okay. See me in the street. Say hello, okay?
All right. I will. Definitely. Thanks, bye.
Okay. Let's go to Mimi in Arlington, Massachusetts. Mimi, you're on.
Hi. I actually want to say that maybe we should make elections more meaningful by making it a holiday and not having so many. Within the last 6 months, I had to vote 3 times.
Yeah. Good idea. I like the idea of a national holiday, Election Day. I think it's a good idea. But also, you know, I also like the idea that you could vote anytime. I mean, why not vote for a week? Why not vote for a month? You know, I don't think this business of, okay, you get one day, you got to get down there. If your kid is getting, you know, a confirmation or something, I mean, I don't know what it's all about, but then you, you know, you might miss it. So why not expand the possibilities for people?
Because then you have to have attention to that. I mean, the caller before said, you know, you can't differentiate between the candidates. You can't differentiate between the issues.
Well, isn't that your job? I mean, Mimi, you live in Arlington, Massachusetts. I take it that you're the kind of person who calls Vox Pop and you know a lot. So you make it your business. Isn't it your responsibility as a citizen to find out about these two parties and or three parties or what's going on?
Yeah, but, like, I got other things to do as well. I don't mind doing it. I just don't want to do it six times. You know, like, I have to vote in the special election for Markey or Lynch. There's not really that much difference between them.
Yeah.
I had to vote in my town election about whether or not we wanted to, you know, redesign Mass Ave. And then I had to vote in the national election. I mean, I did it. I did every one of them. I mean, originally we're from California, and in California, the county that I lived in, if you didn't vote in the previous election,
yep,
you were off the rolls, and you had to re-register.
Oh boy! Oh boy!
So I think that the system works against voters. Not so much that voters are apathetic, but I think the system is kind of stacked against you.
Well, but as my mom used to say, that's accidentally on purpose. In other words, they know exactly what they're doing when they pass those kinds of restrictions, don't they?
Yeah. No, I agree.
Yes.
I think it's tough to say voters are apathetic. I think voters are confused. And I had tuna fish for lunch.
Oh, yeah? Do you put anything in it, a little mayo or not?
I bought it at a store.
Oh, and it already had the mayo in it.
Yeah.
Do you put any, relish in it?
I think they put something in it.
Yeah, well, see, it's just like in politics. It's your responsibility to know what's in the mix. Thanks,
Thank
Mimi.
Thank you.
Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Tim on Facebook says it's in response to one of the callers. I think we should be talking more about the Electoral College. I'm a relatively new voter, only 25 years old, and wish our schools would explain about the system and how we can get rid of it. We've discussed it many times here on Vox Pop, and we will again. Okay, 1-800-348-2551. Don't leave me. Ah! Annie of Greenfield, Massachusetts. Annie, you're on. Wait. Annie, you're on. No? What is this phone thing? Annie, you're on. Whoops. I don't know what that is. Annie! Uh-oh. I think I really screwed it up here, Zach. I think I may have pressed. It says phone is all lit up. Is phone supposed to be lit up? Yeah, okay. All right, let's go to that's off. Let's go to Bennett in Newburgh. Okay, Bennett, you're my last best hope. Keep it going, kid. Go ahead. Whoops. Bennett, no, now it's clearly my problem. So what did I do here that is messed up? Uh-oh. Maybe Pat ought to get down here. Because now I'm in real trouble. I'm supposed to be talking to Bennett. All the phones are ringing, but I don't hear anything. Well, how come I don't hear anything? Does anybody know? Here comes Patrick Donjus. Oh, see, I said that. Okay, wait a second. Let's go to Bennett. Bennett, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, Bennett, I'm so sorry. I'm such an idiot. If it weren't for Patrick Donjus, we never would have heard from you. Go ahead, Bennett.
This is Dan DePue, actually, from...
Dan DePue?
Yeah, from Walk Hill. How are you?
I'm good. I knew somebody named DePue once.
Well, it's an old name, been around a while. My only concern with multiple days of voting, because I represent a town, is the cost. You know, right now, an election to pay everybody to be there costs the town, you know, yearly somewhere around $70,000 to $90,000. So every day you you know, continue that, those costs are going to be multiplied. And then there's also a security issue. I think that right now people are very reactive to polls, you know, and I would be concerned that people would be voting based on, you know, what the trend seems to be based on really being informed about the issue or how they really feel.
Well, that can happen. Hey, Bennett, that can happen on the day of the election too, right? I mean, people
can. I think it can, but I think if there's, you know, if there's more time for exit polling, you know, throughout the day, and then, you know, there'll be hours in which the polls are closed where pollsters can go out and say, well, we've now interviewed 1,000 people who feel this way, and it kind of sways things back and forth. It's also a concern, you know. I am a traditionalist in some regards.
Are you a Republican or a Democrat?
I'm a Republican.
Aha! I knew it, because Republicans are against those kinds of expansions of the.
I don't know if that's fair. You know, I got my degree in international relations and political science from New Paltz. So,
would make you more left wing, no question.
Well, I think it does by default. But,
I'm just kidding.
I look at it from a practical standpoint, and way back when, and this is a question I really don't know the answer to. I was going to research it. Is, you know, how did it work way back when? Was there ever a time in our nation's history where there were 4 and 5 days for votes, or has it always been election day?
Now, it seems to me because of the rigors of getting from far in, that it was expanded, but I'm not going to say it without knowing it. Hey, Dan, I got to go because there are 3 other people on the line, and
thank you very much.
And I thank you for making the call. I really do. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care now. Bye.
Say hello to Peppy. Okay, let's go to Janet in Scaticoke. Okay, Janet.
Hi, this is Janet, and I lived in Oregon for 7 years, and we had vote by mail. I'm telling you, they would send every voter packets of information and where each candidate stood, who endorsed each candidate and why, the pros and cons of each candidate or referendum. And I'm telling you, you had people that could take the time and read these packets so that they would know how to vote intelligently. And it's put out by the Secretary of State and the League of Women Voters. And I've written our Senate, or, you know, the legislature here, and what did I say? It was the Secretary of State. I voted, or I sent to Hillary Clinton when she was still Secretary of State, or, no, not Secretary of State, but when she was our Senator. And then, you know, but I really think that it's the best way, and it's reasonable. It doesn't cost the taxpayers oodles and oodles of money and all these stupid ads.
But you still got to read it, Janet.
Well, I know, but people, there won't be any excuse. Because, you know, a lot of people don't read the
There are a lot of excuses. There's no excuse for not doing it now. Janet, thank you. First of all, I'm giving you a hard time, and it's unnecessary because you're terrific. And I thank you so much for calling, but we only have 2 more minutes, okay? So I got to go. Okay, thanks. Let's go to Annie in Greenfield. Annie, got to make it fast. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Annie. The reason I called is because if you've moved recently in Massachusetts, you have up to 6 months to go back and vote in your old town. I wasn't going to vote today. I didn't think I could because I hadn't re-registered, but I called the Secretary of State, and they said it had 6 months grace period. So for those of people who didn't know that out there, get out.
So you went back to your old town.
I'm going back to my old town right now.
What is your old town?
Irving.
Okay, thanks. Thanks so much, Annie. Appreciate the call. Yeah.
Thanks, Alan.
All right, let's go to Bennett, very quickly, Bennett. We're almost out of time. Did you call Bennett?
Real quick. Okay, I think that everything that was said here, most everything was real good, except for the suggestion about computer voting. You don't want to make it too easy. I mean, you can't make up for lack of quality votes by increasing quantity, and that would make it so easy for a pop-up to appear on.
Bennett, you made your point. I appreciate it. We're out of time. Thank you. And CJ, very quickly, you got 1 minute, Bennett. CJ, go. CJ. Whoa. Okay, who's on line number one? Who are you? I don't know. Okay, nobody. All right. We're out of time. And we are out of time. I'm not kidding. And I love today's show. So many people had so many good ideas. All right, we're out of time. Thanks to everybody who called. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Capcom, Federal Credit Union, offering home mortgage, auto loans, checking, financial planning, and more. CapconFCU.com. erie.org. New York State Canal Corporation announcing the Erie Canal's 189th consecutive season of operation. Cruise the past, unlock the future. Canals.newyork.gov. And Little Worth Architecture, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, providing collaborative discovery and design for dwellings in the regional landscape, featuring passive house and natural home strategies. LittleWolfARCH.com. Thanks, everybody, again, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC.org/Vox Pop. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. Our producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Chartok. Tomorrow on the Vox Pop, cooking. Stay tuned now for a news update. But before we go, I want to remind everybody to go to WAMC.org and put something in that lockbox. Hey, folks, you've been enjoying this and so many other programs. I never told you how much, but if you can do something, WAMC.org, click on Pledge Now, and then we will be whole and we will be saved, I tell you, saved. So be with us for all of this and put something in the box. It all makes it taste so much better. So long now.